When one rejoices, we all rejoice. We have a member of the family that certainly is in need this evening, if for no other reason, mental comfort. And so we commit David Hoffman into thy care and into thy hands, knowing that thou wilt do thy great work marvelously. And now as we study thy word, we ask that God the Holy Spirit will take that which we study together and make it a source of challenge and increase and knowledge to our souls, so that our lives may be more and more conformed to the image of thy Son. For we ask in his name, amen. And last night we took up some detail regarding the doctrine of conspiracy, and just as a matter of review, there are three specific categories and peoples involved in any conspiracy. And I don't care whether it be national, whether it be political, whether it be in the area of business, even in a family. There have been many, many family conspiracies. I'm sure that most of you have knowledge of history and know that because of wealth or because of the varying degrees of promotion that could be accomplished on the person who would cause the death of another. Kingdoms have, for example, been overthrown by family conspiracy. The Roman Empire was permeated with it under the Caesars. And then, of course, in the Middle Ages, you have the same thing. Mothers killing their own offspring, and children killing their fathers and their mothers. All a part of, and they can't do it alone. And so there are three elements that are always involved in any conspiracy. And of course, we can't overlook the one area that would probably be the closest to us, and that would be in the area of local churches. And yet you still have the same trio of elements involved. The first, as we mentioned last night, and this again is for the benefit of those that weren't here, the plot. This is a carefully devised plan by the plotters. They are generally a very, very small but extremely intelligent and generally brilliant individuals. The very fact that they can come up with a plot that will eventually fool the masses indicates in itself that they're no fools. Now, they're wrong, and you'll find oftentimes that brilliant people many times channel their brilliance in evil rather than in good. And the reason for that is because brilliance plus the sin nature equals brilliance in the sin nature. I've met people that should be thankful they're a little bit slow and be thankful that they're not as brilliant as they would like to be. Of course, some of you think you're really bright, and I'm here to tell you you're just a clod in comparison to these, because some of you have even been a part of conspiracies in the past, and I know who you are as well, incidentally, and you couldn't even do it wise enough so no one could figure out who was behind it. Whereas in this case, the finger never goes back to them. They're very, very careful. They always have someone else as the fall guy. And so the second category is the one that is more visual. So you have this small little group of brains, if you please, who actually plot that to overthrow any given authority. And it always has to do with some form of authority. Because you see, what has happened is their brilliance has been sidetracked by their arrogance, and so the sin nature promotes their arrogance, and their brilliance then complements their arrogance to plot a scheme that attempts, and in many cases succeeds, in overthrowing a legitimate government, a legitimate authority, a legitimate leadership. So the second is the machination. That, of course, is the process as such, but we have, as a part of that, those that are involved in the close peripheral areas of the machination, and they are simply a larger group, and they spread their poison, their lack of authority orientation, as being directed by that smaller plotter group to the masses. And they do so, of course, through any necessary violence. The violence sometimes is even used to be put down by them to promote the success of the plotter. You've got to be very careful with violence. See, whenever you see violence, you have to realize that somebody's behind it. Well, now, somebody comes along and puts down the very violence that they themselves may have plotted, so that they come out smelling like the lawful ones, when indeed the ulterior motive is far greater than simply what surfaced and appears to be simply a riot. I suggested to you last evening that that would be the easiest way to promote gun control in this country. Have mass rioting with the use of weapons, and then the very ones that want to get rid of the weapons themselves then come in, put down the riots, and everybody's peaceful and happy, and then you say, now you see, we must get rid of the weapons, because if we get rid of the weapons, then we'll have peace. And people go for it. When I heard about that huge Lutheran church in the San Francisco area that were bringing in their handguns and putting them into large barrels so that they could be melted down into crosses, I almost gagged. And the individuals then, as a part of this thousands plus membership, were given these crosses. Now, it's great if you're fighting Dracula. But it has nothing whatever to do with the protection of your home and property. And you see, everything is generally designed in the area of the plot to be so subtle that it appears to be to the benefit of the people. For example, when Adolf Hitler rose in power, what was the state of post-World War I Germany? They were an economic disaster. And so he came in as the emancipator, the deliverer, the savior, if you please. And he did turn around their economy. How? By building his huge war machine. And of course, eventually, he balanced their economy to the point where they had maximum productivity. See, during World War II, everybody was working. And people were rejoicing in the streets. Millions of people assembled themselves, hailing the new Caesar of Germany. But of course, we look back now in retrospect, look back in history, if you have the facts, and you know that he was a demon-possessed individual that had one thing in mind, and that was the annihilation of the Jews and the promotion of his so-called Aryan society, which has always been a mystery to me, because he was a short, dark-haired, brown-eyed midget. And he wanted to promote the large-boned, tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Japhite superior race. Somebody should have taken one look at him and said, well, first one's got to go is a little runt. Let's get rid of the painter first. I mean, the man was simply a house painter. The highest rank he achieved in World War I was corporal. His name was Adolf Schickelgruber. And yet you say, well, how could he gain power so quickly? The great plot. Goebbels, for example, was a brilliant statistician, tremendous individual regarding propaganda. He promoted, he was the key to their entire propaganda machine. Goering was a clod, but you needed the brawn. So he had his henchmen, his SS, and of course the black shirts during the early 30s. And they became the very group. Same thing with the Castro situation. See, when Castro overthrew Batista with our help, he then put down the revolution in toto by killing off all the revolutionaries. You got to do that. You can't have a bunch of revolutionaries in power with you joining, because somebody's going to look at you and say, hey, I don't like the way he looks either. Let's knock him off. So to promote yourself, you have to be behind the plot, and then you've got to destroy all those in that outer periphery that actually promoted the cause, because you can't have them around. And all that's left is what? The small nucleus of plotters that band together and are sworn by an oath. And then you have the dupes, third category, the masses. I didn't mention this last night, but you remember the repeated reference to the American people by Richard Nixon as the silent majority? You remember that? I know at least one person that has knowledge of what that was and where it was originally coined. Do you know what it had reference to? The silent majority was a famous phrase that was used by a famous writer referring to cemeteries, people who were dead in the grave. He wasn't telling us much when he talked about the silent majority. You get it now? Corpses. That's the silent majority. They don't say much. One of the things that I hope that you do, and I'm going to promote this until November the 15th, which would be days after the election, I want you to go to the polls and get some of these jackasses out. Don't sit on your haunches and complain, or whatever it is you sit on, about the state of affairs and how things are going, and you never vote, and then complain about the fact that these people are doing what they're doing. Get them out! I heard an interesting statistic just last evening, and that is that if there was a negative vote in every precinct throughout the United States against JFK, he'd have lost the election. One vote in one precinct throughout all of precincts in the United States. He would not have been elected as president of the United States. He said, well, who we've gotten? Tricky Dicky. Say, who do we get this time? You see, you got Eeny, Meeny, and Miney. I'm waiting for Mo to come on the scene. One is a jerk, the other one is arrogant, and the other one scares me. Because he reminds me of pastors that continually get up and tell you what we need in this country and never tell you how. But I won't take any political position. You do what you're going to do, because you're going to do what you're going to do anyway, regardless of what I say, because I know most of you. I've tried to encourage your independence, and yet dependence. Dependence on the Lord, but independent of any of my opinions. Somebody came to me one time, five, maybe 10 years ago, and handed me a Democratic ballot sheet and asked me, who would I vote for on the entire ballot? And I said, you're talking to the wrong person. So then they came back a few days later with a Republican ballot sheet. And I said, you're still talking to the wrong person. They said, well, who are you going to vote for? And I said, that's my business. Well, who should I vote for? That's your business. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I'm just going to tell you what I know and possibly a few things about what I think. That may not help you. But I don't think it's without significance that we are now studying this very doctrine, because I personally believe that it won't be long, unless things change drastically in this country, that we are going to see these very things emerge. We have already. I suggested to you just last evening, and I'll continue to suggest to you, that somewhere this very night, not even necessarily in a dimly lit room, with one of those green shades with the cigar smoke filling the room and a card table in the middle, people are plotting the overthrow of our nation. It may be in some penthouse. It may be in some exclusive top floor of some business building. People don't like us. People don't like free enterprise. People don't like freedom. Conspirators don't like freedom for you. They only like it for themselves. Yes, money is the motivation oftentimes, but it goes further than that, much further than that. So you just keep your ears open and keep your eyes open. And try to read between the lines of things that appear to be good, and use the philosophy that I use. It's rather Grecian, but it works. And it's where you take any premise and push it as far as it'll go to its logical conclusion. And if you don't like what you see at the end, just remember there's something wrong with the premise. Take it as far as you can take it. Don't look at it at face value. Yeah, that looks good. Because it directly or indirectly affects you. There's many areas of inequity in this country, there's no question about it, but with the next breath I must admit we're still the greatest nation in the world, and I'll do everything in my power to preserve it. And therefore, you can do your greatest by simply continuing to be positive to the word. I'm not suggesting that you organize some paramilitary organization. No. No, that's foolishness. What are you going to do? Bing, bing, bing. You shoot a 38 and they're using A-bombs for ammo? Or are you going to learn karate? It's great for exercise, and it's great for the toning of your body and so on, but don't think you're going to preserve our nation because you're a black belt, or how many degrees you happen to be in the area of your black belt, because I've never met a man that can parry a bullet. I don't care how fast he is. Boom. That's it. And it didn't take much. All it took was this, see? I often say, here's the greatest exercise I've ever had, right here. That's all I need. Because I don't care how sharp this guy is, and how tough he is, and how big he is. A 44 mag will put him down every time. And he can swing his swords, and his sticks, and his swirling things, and all the rest of it. And have his stars, and his points of light, and whatever he happens to have coming out of his belt. As long as I can get a bead on him, squeeze one round off, that's all I need. Now he's a dead black belt, 75 degrees, and body temperature dropping quickly. A plotter. Small group. The next group, the machination or the machinators, if that would be an accurate term to use, and then the dupes, the masses. It's got to be very convincing. And you see, you have to have a common denominator. You have to have a common argument, a common hatred. You've got to be agreed, at least on something, to which you can direct your hostilities. You realize that right now, somewhere, I'm convinced of it, after the Supreme Court's decision today, that no prayers can be now uttered during the graduation exercises, there are some pockets of Christians somewhere scheming and plotting this very thing to try to get that reversed. And you know what I said when I heard it? It's going to shock some of you. I said, that's great. Because if you are going to have separation of church and state, let's be consistent about it. That is a state-operated school. That's the last place you should have any type of, may I use the term, religious activities. See, some of you are soft in that area because you want to force your Christianity upon the unbeliever. You can't do that. I don't want them praying in the schools. And then, by the way, what prayer are they going to pray? What are they going to pray? As a pastor, I'd be insulted if they prayed Our Father which art in heaven, because that isn't even dispensationally correct. Say, well, we can't argue theology. Oh, really? How can you divorce the whole situation? So, let's just take care of it very simply. Let's not have it at all. And if we want prayer somewhere, we come to the place of prayer, the local assembly. And if we want to have prayer in a school, then we have a school that is specifically designed under private organization. And you notice how we can just pray anytime we feel like it? Any of our teachers can stop the class? Let's pray! And they'll all just bow and pray. And nobody's going to come in, no SS, bang the doors down and accuse us, or cut off federal aid. Because we already told them what they can do with their federal aid. Yeah, they wanted to give us milk one time. That's right. Milk and apples. Brother. No. Your apples will rot and your milk will turn green before we take it. And we categorically told them exactly where they could put it, take it, where they could leave it. Why? Because once they get in, you're finished. You see, you talk about our government as if they were conspiratorial. Whatever happened for the people and by the people and so forth. Oh, it's still in theory, in writing. When was the last time any congressman that you know or any senator went along with your thinking about something? And they're supposed to be representing their immediate constituency. Sure. Did you tell them to write bad checks? Yeah? Did you tell them to vote the way they voted on various things, like giving away the Panama Canal? Did you tell them to do that? Did you think the people of Tucson said, Deacon Cini, give away the Panama Canal? And what did the people of Tucson do? They voted him in again. Well, what do you expect? But I think this time the American people have finally had it up to here. And we're going to see a lot of heads roll. You know the problem I have with that? What new head's going to come in? Yeah. See, the Bible even outlines that. It says you sweep out your house of demons, and if you don't put something that will take its place, then those that come in are worse than the ones you got out. So some of you are hell-bent on toppling Bush. Well, what do you want? The Arkansas king? By the way, you know what his status is in Arkansas? That's his Zuzu stuff, let me tell you. I talk to a lot of people from Arkansas, you know what they told me? They can't find one person that's for him. That's his own state. But you see, I don't want to be political. Last night we suggested to you that when you combine two areas, you end up in conspiracy. Let me give you those again. And this comes under the general heading of the doctrine of revolution. Crusader arrogance plus criminal arrogance provides all the necessary foundation for conspiracy. So a very simple equation emerges, and if you'd like to get this down, you could just simply put it this way. Crusader arrogance plus criminal arrogance equals revolution. I've used this before, but I want to use it again just to show you what evil can come out of something that is done in the guise of good. Now, I'm sure that if I asked most of you, especially you ladies, you would agree with me. If you don't tell me otherwise. Keep me in limbo. That abortion is an issue that is raging hot in the time in which we live. I'm sure that if I took a survey of most of you women here and said to you, are you for or against it, you would basically say against it. I'm assuming that. Only because I'm against it, okay? I guess maybe that's a dream on my part. I'm against abortion. Okay? Now you say, but you've taught on... But that doesn't say you can get an abortion. I've just taught you the origin of the soul. That doesn't mean anything. Look, let's not start mixing the two together. We're talking about apples and trees, okay? Origin of one thing does not promote the promiscuity and the availability of the other. There's a moral right involved. There's far more than just simply what we might look at academically. So I'm against it. But what am I going to do about it? Well, what I'm going to do about it is when my wife got pregnant 5 times, 4 of which became children, 1 of which aborted, not because we aborted it, but because she had a miscarriage. That's family. That's my decision. That's her decision. That's our decision. We kept them all. Some of them may have been a pain in the ass, but I never once thought and never said to them, ever, you know, we could have aborted you. Like that joke I heard the other day when the kid's acting up in the... supermarket. And the mother says, look, I have 4 more like you at home. I could leave you right here, squashed. Of course, some of the kids I've seen in supermarkets acting the way they do, I think I'd applaud the mother. But you see, that is, of course, said hyperbolistically, I trust. The matter is, that's a family matter. That's an individual matter. Now, what am I against? I'm against government paying for abortions. I'm against Christians fighting against it. Why? Because it's none of their business what a woman does with her body. Now, by the way, cigarette smokers, you get that one? You pick up on that one today? It's the company's fault for producing the cigarettes. Okay? Do you understand the can of worms that were just opened? If you run it to its logical conclusion, if that's the logic, so every auto accident you get in, it has to be the fault of the manufacturer because, I mean, after all, he made the damn automobile. Do you see the logic? Every knife dealer is then held responsible by virtue of the fact that somebody is killed with a knife. All weapons, then, Smith & Wesson would be liable if you can find them in Bangor, Punta. You say, what? You don't really think that Smith & Wesson is made in Massachusetts, do you? They're made in Bangor, Punta, in South America. You say, where's that? Who knows? Who really cares? If some kid loses their hearing as a result of listening to a Fender guitar and a Fender amplifier, he can sue Fender if he wants to take on the whole Japanese Navy. Because they own Fender now, you know. The Japanese do. You say, I thought Fender was sold eventually to CBS. Well, who do you think owns CBS? They say it, CBS. I would still like to know who won World War II. The greatest area, though, and you got to be careful of this, you can have the conspirator, you can have the plot, but you've got to convince the masses, and therefore you have to sway one very important factor, which we haven't even touched on yet. You know what it's called? Public opinion. Put it in your notes. Watch and listen carefully what you're going to hear in the next few months about public opinion. Now, let me tell you something about public opinion. Now, I'm one of those strange bugs. You're not going to like this, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. My feeling is that if you're going to vote, you got to be able to write. Just simple, something like that. Say, no X's. You have to be at least able to read and write in English. Sound strange? Oh, you're a damn redneck. No, I'm practical. Because the person that we're voting for reads and writes in English. Is that too difficult? And the language of this land is what? Reading and writing in Japanese, English. I don't want some guy going in there and somebody moving him into a booth and saying, just push that one. That's not vote. First of all. Secondly, this is going to get even deeper. Got to be a property owner or in business or be employed. A responsible member of society. Say, well, we're not going to get many votes on that one. I've lost part of you right there, I can tell. Commie liberal pinko type. Come on, wake up. I don't want somebody living in a box voting. Because he can't vote objectively. And then you ask the person about the issues.
I said, well, I don't know anything about anything here. I'm just going to vote because I'm a damn Democrat. I've been one all my life, and so push the button.
Sorry, you just lost your right. What? Well, who are you voting for? Do you know that there are people, get this, this is really appalling. Do you know that there are people in the United States that don't even know who our president is? Who's the president of the United States?
Johnson?
Which one?
Andrew?
Man, I was appalled when I heard that. People stopped on the streets and asked who the president was, and they didn't know. We got a bright crowd around, don't we, going to the polls. So you might have a questionnaire like, who is the current president of the United States? Can't answer that, out. Now remember, this is my opinion. This is not biblical discourse. This is not dogma. This is not written in stone. And it'll never happen, so relax. Some of you will be able to vote. Listen, you've got to get public opinion on your side.
And so what you have to have is a dialogue with the people. But let me tell you something about that. That is not the tenets and principles of a pure republic. If you know anything about what a republic is, that's not a republic. You know what that is? I gave it to you last night. What is it? A democracy. And this isn't going to sound very English, but we ain't one. But we're sure being told we are by a lot of people. The whole public opinion in this country is that we are a democracy. We never were, and I hope we never become one. And if we did, that's the beginning of our demise. Because you know what the next phase in the cycle of destruction is after a democracy? Anarchy and revolution. What happens after anarchy and revolution? Dictatorship. Then you overthrow the dictator and you go back to what? The simplest form of government, the representation of the people sent to a specific place to represent the feelings and ideas of the people, a republic. Then you start asking the masses what they think. That's what bothers me about, what's his name? He wants to start asking the people what they think. When they don't even know who the president is, do you really want people like that telling and having an opinion? I was in one of those once, and I'm going to take the time. You guys, you can pray a little longer. I was in one of those round table discussion type things, only it was on a theological question. There were five people. We broke up into groups. And the five people were to discuss their opinion on Acts chapter 2, a non-controversial passage of Scripture. Now, let me guarantee you one thing. I just said that, right? There's got to be at least one person here that has the foggiest idea what I'm talking about. You don't even know what Acts 2 is all about. Day of Pentecost, speaking in tongues, the whole bit. So I heard this discussion, and blah, 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 you know. Next one. So then I said, well, I got my Bible out, Greek text, and I said, this is what the original says. Well, that's not a discussion. I mean, you've taken over the meeting. Yeah. Isn't our opinion worth anything? And I said, no. Because that's all it is an opinion. Do you want to know what the Word says? I mean, you know, let's see what the Bible says since we're talking about Acts 2. And I was about that nasty. Because I was 22 years old and feistier in hell. 23? Oh, I couldn't have been 22. I wasn't even saved at 22. I was 26. How's that? Or 27. In my early 30s. The prime of my life. Mid-60s. So I tore into these guys. I said, where do you get all this stuff from? What has that got to do with what you're saying? Where'd you get that from? Well, I mean, it's what I think. So then one of the leaders came to me and said, John, you know, he says, you shouldn't have done that. I said, why? He said, because you didn't give these men the right to express their ideas. I said, oh, yes, I did, and that was my problem. Well, it wasn't very brotherly, Christian-like. Yeah, that's what I was accused of. I was not a nice guy. So I thought, you see, that's where it all started. I said, I'm not a nice guy. I think I'll perpetuate that for the rest of my ministry to its furthest degree and see whether there's any logic at the end. And it came out perfect. You notice I never ask you what you think? You know why? I don't really care. That's the way people are taught authority. You want some guy that climbs out of a box giving his opinion as to what we should do in our nation, in our country, regarding, for example, listen to this, the cost of the military, when he can't even find a Snickers bar or buy one? He's living in a box. No, he can't be objective. No, cut it back. Haven't you heard this? Why are we spending so much on the military? Look at all the homeless. Oh, please, are you soft with that? Is that getting to you? You're beginning to fall into that area called public. Yes. Think! Try it! It might hurt at first, but there is something there that can work. Just don't fall over like the silent majority. Because somebody's going to be pouring dirt on your face before too long and saying, well, they didn't have much to say. They went along with the crowd. No, don't go along with the crowd. Life to you should be like you're constantly rowing against the tide. And if it isn't, then you're rowing with it. And you're in the devil's world, and you know where that tide leads. It's a great doctrine. Don't miss tomorrow night. I've just begun to Patrick Henry. Say what? Father, thank you for the time together. Dismiss us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Man, you still have 5 minutes. That's okay. You're just going to pray about David anyway. That's going to be the chief topic of your prayer time this week.